I appreciate it has been a long session and just lengthened now with a slight change to the programme, so I'll be very concise in what I want to say. I'll not expand or extend very much, just preach the message of the gospel briefly. Before I read the scriptures with you, I would like to just express a personal word of thanks to our good friend Tom here. I've made his job a bit more difficult than it should have been, but he's been very gracious and very patient and cooperative, and in a very professional way he has looked after the sound system, and I appreciate that very, very, very much, and thank Tom sincerely. Now, the first reading I would like to take with you is the Epistle to the Galatians and chapter 3. Three passages, Galatians and chapter 3. And here we will read verse 22. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And then we work backwards to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, by which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And a last, final short reading, back in Romans chapter 10. Epistle to the Romans and chapter 10. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's our reading. We trust the Lord's blessing in brief comments upon these verses. Just where our brother David concluded his reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In fact, that's where he commenced last night. We were reading the text that the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, they're able to make wise unto salvation. We've been thinking a good little bit in the sessions about the production of the scriptures. A book that is divinely given. We thought about the power of the scriptures, the holy scriptures which are able. This book is able. This book has had impact and influence across the ages. We thought about the purpose of the scriptures, the holy scriptures which are able to make wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the holy scriptures make us wise unto salvation. We need to be made wise. Just left to ourselves, minus the Bible, we would naturally, and we would normally, be very foolish people. We'd make foolish choices. We would do foolish things. We would just stumble and bumble our way through life, and the whole thing would be a disaster. So we need a book to make us wise. And this is the book. The Holy Scriptures make us wise unto salvation. It doesn't just give us a few ideas. doesn't say, well, here, one or two starting points, and you can fill in the blanks, and you can work out the rest. It makes us wise unto salvation. This is the book that tells us why it is that we need to be saved. This is the book that tells us how we can be saved. This is the book that tells us how we know that we are saved. It makes wise unto salvation. Maybe there's someone here, you've been here over the different sessions, you've listened to quite a lot. You're not maybe just really sure whether you're saved or not. Maybe there's someone here and you know that you're not saved, you'd like to be saved. And there's just something in your mind that's reaching after this blessing. And all the things that have been said, and all the people that have been here, and all that has been done, just deep down, quietly and secretly in your heart, you wish that you could go away today from the Faith Mission Centre saved, on your way to heaven, your sins forgiven, absolutely sure that all was settled. Well, that's great. I want to speak to you. You're the very person that I want to speak to just here for 10 or 15 minutes before we leave. And we're speaking to you from the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, able to make wise. It's a book that makes us fully fledged as to this matter of salvation. Now, it speaks to us about the need of being saved. We'll come back to that. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. The need for being saved. Then the Scriptures tell us the news of salvation. The great news. But something happened in this world, right here in this world, on planet Earth. And the great Creator of the whole cosmos, He paid a visit to this small planet. And for 6 hours, He hung upon a cross. And He died for sinners like us, died for you. We want to tell you the news, dear friend. Here's the great news of salvation, touched by the crimson blood of Christ. There's a Savior, true and tried. He can cleanse the deepest dyed and present them justified when they come. And then the Scripture tells us about the nearness of salvation. Oh, you see, that's the thing. I don't doubt that there's such a thing, but I just can't. I tell you, salvation is as near to you as I am to that desk. It's as close. It's within your reach. And you can have it. You say, can you give me one or two ideas? No, that wouldn't be very, very... I can tell you what the Scripture says. The Scripture said, this same book whose merits we have been elaborating, it says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. So, what does the Scripture say about the need of salvation? It is concluded. Here's the bottom line. All discussion over. No further debate. The Scripture has concluded all under sin. That's everybody over here. That's all the people over here. Here's the great umbrella that reaches across the whole audience in the room this afternoon, reaches across the whole of County Cork, reaches across the island of Ireland, right to the parameters of the planet. Dear people, this is why we need to be saved. There's something happened. And the Bible tells us what it was. Something happened away back at the beginning. People weren't always under sin. Adam wasn't under sin. God put Adam in a beautiful garden. He had the liberty of the place. But then something happened when Adam sinned, and the whole human race was brought under the control, under the captivity of sin. And it just, well, you know what it is. Sin has made us a prisoner. We try to improve ourselves, and we try to save ourselves, and it's like me pulling up on my bootlaces trying to reach the roof. Never worked, dear friend. We're not just in sin.
That's true. We are in sin, but we are under sin. The control, just captives, hopeless, helpless captives of sin. That's one of the things the Bible makes clear. That's one of the basic things that I have to admit. No varnish, no excuse, no dodging. The reason, Lord, that I need to be saved is the verdict of the Bible, that I'm just a sinner, a lost sinner, a helpless sinner, a descendant of Adam. I haven't an excuse to make. I haven't a merit that I can plead. I haven't a leg that I can stand on. I'm just a poor. The Scripture, oh, the Scripture, not what I said. It's what the Scripture says. It has concluded all under sin. It's a sad old picture. It's a picture of people locked up. The word really means locked up in a cell. The crime's committed. The person's guilty. They're put into the cell. The door has been locked. And they're just there shivering and shuddering. Captives in the cell, waiting for the day when the door will open and the condemnation will fall. It's a critical situation. It's urgent. And I say to you people, that's why you need to take it seriously. If you're not saved, and you die in your sins, and you die under your sins, let me tell you very faithfully, according to the Scripture, according to the Bible, this is not some kind of a jaundiced opinion. This is not some Bible-thumping idea. The Scripture will tell me, if you die in your sin, you'll be under judgment. Forever. It will be a disaster. You say, well, I'm not really a bad person. Are you not? Oh. That's your opinion. But we're talking not about your opinion of yourself. We're speaking just now, dear friend, about God's verdict about us all. This is the default situation of the whole bunch of us. The most respectable lady, the most conservative lady, the most sensitive lady, the man here who is most careful and conservative in his living. The Scripture concludes that we are all under sin, under its control, awaiting the awful condemnation, and we're in a dilemma. That's the need of salvation. And thank God we have news. You know, I was away one time in another part of the world, down in another hemisphere, and I happened to be at a home, folks I'd never met before. I was asking the lady of the house, she had made a very enjoyable meal, just a little bit of conversation. I was asking about the family, and I said, has the gospel been in your family for a long time? She got up from the table, she walked away into another room, and she came out with a little box. She said, that's it there. I wondered what this is, a battered little box, and I wondered what this was all about. So she very carefully opened the lid, and she took out from the box, a battered Bible, well worn and just the pages all crinkled and so on. She said, that's how it all started. She says, my grandfather was one of 10 in the family. She said, he and his young brother were out one day just along the beach, and they saw this box been washed overboard from a ship way down the Pacific Ocean. And she said, boys being boys, they went over and investigated what's in this box. And they got it open, it was soaking. And they got a box of books. They took out, they thought these are unusual books. They took out the book, they took it home, showed it to their mother. She'd never seen a Bible before. But she too caught on that this is a special book. She put it down beside the fire until it dried out. And she gathered her little family around her knee every night. She started at the Gospel according to Matthew, and she read a little bit from the Bible. And the lady told me with tears in her eyes, she says, David, in my grandfather's family, she says, the whole 10 of them were saved before they were ever at a Gospel meeting. The Holy Scriptures, man, if you want to be saved, here's the book. Makes wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The need is that the Scripture has concluded us all under sin, but the new. Oh, in the dark dilemma of the human situation, there's good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He didn't just die in one way or another. No different. You see that cross that was raised there into the tender hands of God's Son. Roman soldiers put their nail, and likewise into his feet. And they nailed my Lord upon the tree, and they left him hanging there. In love, he suffered there for me. It was love beyond compare. We've been thinking of a great deal of theology and some of these very important and rich doctrines. This is where it touches our hearts, dear people. This is not just theory. It wasn't that a book, merely a book of the Scriptures, valuable as they are. The Scriptures given, God gave his Son. Dear people, the Son of God stepped across this world with a stainless path. Not a sin was ever committed. Not a mistake was ever made until he walked out that great day of destiny and on the cross. It had been prophesied in the book 1,000 years before it happened. They pierced my hands and my feet. And in 6 hours in loneliness, did ever you think about it? This, dear man, dear lady, this is the news of salvation. This is the good news. Your sin and my sin, it has a penalty that must be paid, and we can't pay it. We don't have the wherewithal. I could put my hand deep in my pocket, but all the pounds or the euros that I could pay, and all the penance that I could provide, and all the pledges that I could make would never take away a single stain. But on that cross, there was a Saviour, and with the currency of his own precious blood, thank God he paid in full the mighty price of sin. There's not a mite. Dear people, this is what we speak about. This is what we mean when we speak about the finished work of Christ. A mighty work that was done. No one else could do it. Such was the sacrifice he made. God's law could ask no more. Not one mite was left unpaid when he the judgment bore. He paid it for you, dear man. He paid it for all the people out there. The value of the precious blood of Christ is universal in its outreach. No one outwith the embrace of that cleansing blood. Oh, dear people, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. He died according to the Scriptures. They buried him. You say, well, it's a sad end. It is, but that's not the end. It says the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He's living. And the Saviour alive is the everlasting proof that the penalty he paid at Calvary was paid in full. Nothing outstanding. He didn't make a discount. He didn't put down a partial price. No, people. No, I never paid a penny to get saved. But thank God Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My sins, they left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. And the glad news, we need salvation because the Scripture has concluded all under sin. And the news of salvation is that Christ died according to the Scriptures and he rose again. We are not preaching a creed. We're not preaching a code of ethics. We're not preaching a ceremony or a circumcision. Dear people, we preach this afternoon, St. Patrick's Day 2026. We preach a living Christ. And thank God you can be saved right here. The news of salvation. What about the nearness of it? And I'm going to stop in a minute or two, but I'm not finished yet. Because this is the point.
There could be someone here, and everything that I have said up until now, you can give a mental assent to it. You say, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that on that cross, according to the scriptures, the blessed Son of God gave his life as a voluntary sacrifice for a sinner like me. You say, I know that, but I'm not saved. No, you're not saved. No, you're not. And you say, well, how then can I be saved? It seems to be always so far away and so much in the distance. And it's always vague. I would love to make it close until I could say, it's mine and I'm saved. Aye, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Tell you it's great to be saved. And to be, here's how close it is. The scripture said. Aye, the scripture said. David Gilliland suggests. David McAllister gives a second opinion, not worth topping. But the scripture said. Whosoever believeth on him. Whosoever believeth on him. Whosoever believeth on him. Oh, the great whosoever. You say, who's that? That's you. Whether you're sitting left, right or left, or down the middle sections here, just I tell you, dear people, when the Saviour died on that cross, you were on his heart. And he died thinking about you. Didn't want you to go down in your sins into everlasting fire, lost forever. And he thought about you. And thank God you're in the whosoever. Whosoever. The whosoever of salvation. Whosoever believeth. Not only the whosoever of salvation, the way of salvation. Whosoever believeth on him. And there comes a moment. There comes a moment of salvation. It's a moment of faith, a moment of trust. And just you give your ear to this. It's been a long day, but there's someone here who would like to be saved. And I'll take a minute and help you. And if there's anything I'm saying you don't understand, when I finish in a minute or two, don't be afraid to ask afterwards. Whosoever. So here's a Saviour, and here's the whosoever, a worthy Saviour. You say, well, that's me. I'm just a poor sinner. Dear friend, the moment that you'll get saved is the moment when you believe on him. You put your whole trust in him. Faith, this very book of the Bible tells us. Faith, this very chapter. Faith cometh by hearing. So faith listens. That's what you have been doing. Faith learns. When I listen to the word of God, I hear my need. And then I learn about the Saviour. So the faith that listens is the faith that learns. And then there comes a moment when faith leans. You know, I was down there a minute ago. And when I stepped up here, all my weight was on this platform. I left there and I came here and changed my position. And thank God, dear friend, you could do that today. Change your position and say, just this day on the 17th March 26, I will now step out in simple faith on the Saviour. I can't understand it all, and I hear all that, and it's a bit puzzling to me, but I know that I need to be saved, and I know that Christ is the only Saviour. Oh yes, that's it, dear friend. Step out on Christ and trust him with your soul, and God will save you. You don't need to. I am not skilled. A good lady wrote, Miss Greenway, I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned, but I believe at his right hand there's one can be my Saviour. I take him at his word and deed. Christ died for sinners, this I read, and in my heart I find a need of him to be my Saviour. I could almost sense a sinner trusting Christ now. As things happen in meetings when men are preaching and most of the folks don't know much about it. There's a work of God going on in the soul, in the conscience of someone here just now as the conference comes to a close. Let Cork Conference 26 be marked by the new birth of a precious soul. Trusting Christ
Dear man, you'll never regret it. Let yourself go into the embrace of the once nail-pierced hands of God's beloved Son. Will you say, but I don't know, will he let me down? The scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He'll never let you down, your friend. He'll never let you go. He'll hold you up, hold you by the hand. Save your soul now. Take you through the journey of life. And when it gets to the end of it all, sweep you through the gates of eternal glory. The prize of his soul, the fruit of his atoning death at Calvary. You'll join the choir of heaven. And you'll make louder the praises of the redeeming Christ. What a Savior. I say, if you don't know him, don't let the salvation's whosoever. Salvation's way. Faith in Christ. Not works, not worrying, not waiting, not weeping. Dear friend, trusting, somebody could trust Christ just right now. That's how close it is. That's how, you don't even have to read a tract. You don't have to read a page. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. This is the word of faith which we preach. That if you're listening, to this, dear friend, let this clench it and settle it for some seeking soul. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be thy Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Mighty resurrection power and the salvation blessing. Thank God it could be yours. That's how close it is. And you say, well, what about salvation's when? I'm sorry to tell you that when it comes to this matter, I think that's where most people make the fatal mistake. And I'm not high pressure tactics, and it's not platform pressure, and it's not manipulation, but I speak to us all here right round the semicircle. Listen, dear friend, the very seeds of death in your veins and the stamp of mortality on your brow, just like mine, and the expanse of eternity lying across the edge, you may not see tomorrow. Now is salvation's day. The scripture said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You do business with God. Far too many people, dear friend, waffle about through life. And they drift through meetings just like this. And the birthdays pass by. And they're always getting closer to the eternal shore. They never get the matter settled. I say, cut out all the trifling and cut out all the daydreaming and let go all your works. And as a helpless soul, dear friend, trust your soul to Christ and you'll be saved for time and for eternity. Salvation. The scripture tells us about the need of salvation. The scripture brings to us the news of salvation. Christ crucified and risen. The scripture tells us about the nearness of salvation. And I say, from the scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No clock here. Will you trust them now? Because the scripture said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for these hours that we have spent just here in this room. What precious things have been rehearsed from the Holy Scriptures. We thank thee for this volume of eternal truth committed to our trust. We thank thee for guidance for saints. We thank thee for a gospel for sinners. And we pray that even in the closing, just the closing moments of our gatherings this particular year, that there might be a heart touched, that there might be a sinner bowed and truly repentant,
there might be a soul saved in Cork Conference 2026. We commit thy word to thee. We think of extensive journeys that will be taken. We'll disperse and go hither and thither, and many will go back to the normal routine of life. We ask that some savour of the conference will carry with us, and that thy word will become to us a greater treasure than ever before. We thank thee for the value of this eternal volume, and so we commit our meditations and the meetings to thee, and pray for thy watchful eye to be the guardian of our homeward journeys, for refreshments prepared, and for every mercy of the conference. We give thanks. Remember all the brethren and sisters who contributed, brethren who prayed and planned, and sisters who labored so hard, and so many who attended. We embrace all in our prayers and ask for thy blessing in days to come, every day and in every way, as we thank thee just now as the God of all mercy for every gift of thy kindness. We render our afternoon thanks in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.